Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Hey everyone, it's Angelica from A Little Bit of Everything With Me podcast, and you're listening to Rachel and Molly on the Exposé podcast. Enjoy the show.
To another episode. I think this week is rather interesting, Molly.
I do too. I have a lot of like personal feelings about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited.
I would say due to a lot of people working from home during this time, like a lot of people might be able to relate.
I think we're topical this week.
Yeah.
And I think that also, from all these people working at home right now and just differences in how we're doing work, that things might change. So I think this is a great topic to talk about right now, and maybe things will change after we all get back to normal. Maybe we won't get back to normal. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are talking this week about essentially our classic 40-hour work week, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Is it working for America right now? Let's find out.
Let's dig in. So, Molly, can you tell me why we work 40 hours a week? Let's go into a little bit of the history of it.
Yeah, it's kind of been a long time coming. But, you know, back in before the Industrial Revolution, essentially, people were doing their own work. They were farming for themselves. They were making their own clothes, that kind of thing. But then when the Industrial Revolution hit, we started having factories. And with those factories came labor and people like congregating and working there. And let's just put it this way. It doesn't sound pleasant, the working conditions. And typically they were working 80 to 100 hour weeks. That was just like what was required. If you didn't do it.
Crazy.
Yeah. You're not up for working that amount, then don't have a job then, I guess, you know?
Or you die.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's a lot of hours.
Yes. So basically, eventually people started not wanting to take it anymore. And in 1886, the labor union asked Congress to pass a law that mandated an 8-hour workday. It did fail, but it got the public talking about how much they should be working, essentially. This 8-hour workday, I just want to kind of briefly talk about why 8 hours. And it just kind of, I think, arose from this idea. I saw that the mantra people were saying was 8 hours of rest, 8 hours of work, 8 hours for what you will. So it was kind of a way that they thought would balance out their lives. And yeah. I mean, they're coming from like 100-hour weeks. So I mean, 8 hours is definitely improvement. So it's kind of like not a number that's really backed by science or, you know, studies or anything, but just a number that definitely helped because they're not working so much. But is it the best? I don't know. But anyway.
For 1817, it was great. But
yeah, a vast improvement at that point.
Yeah.
But in 1869, Ulysses Grant issues a proclamation basically saying government employees are going to work 8 hours a day. And then it took a few more years of private sector businesses and a riot to get anywhere else. So in 1886, there was a few different riots or rallies, whatever you want to call them. And one of the most important ones was called the Haymarket Affair, or as some call it, the Haymarket Massacre. It was in Chicago. Yeah. And it was basically the workers were rallying for their rights, better working conditions, better hours. And somebody set off a bomb, like some homemade bomb with dynamite, and it killed 12 people. it was kind of what put into motion the workers' rights and unions and that kind of thing. And out of it, there is a holiday that kind of is celebrated around the world, Workers' Day, and it's on May 1st. And that kind of commemorates, I guess, the victims of that bombing in Chicago back then.
Interesting.
But it wasn't until Henry Ford in 1926 that the 8-hour workday really got some traction in private sectors. So he obviously innovated a lot of different things with the assembly line, making the Model T cars and that kind of stuff. But he also popularized the 40-hour work week because he noticed that working more than that really only yielded a small increase in productivity. So there wasn't a whole lot of point to having people being there endless hours when they weren't really doing more. Mm-hmm. A few years after that, in 1938, Congress passed the Fair Labor Standards Act, limiting work week to 44 hours, and everything over that you would have to be paid overtime. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, in 1940, they changed that to 40 hours. And here we are today with the 40-hour work week. So it's kind of short history.
I can't be too mad at Henry Ford for wanting the 40-hour work week. Because if not, would we be working 60 hours a week right now? Or like, what would our life be like if he never did that?
I mean, it's possible. I kind of feel like, and this is something that I had kind of came up with while I was working on the research. I was like, in America, we really are reluctant to put laws on this kind of stuff because we believe that like companies will do whatever's best and somehow it will balance out with the welfare of the workers and the productivity of the company. But does that ever really happen? I mean, usually they choose profit over the people, I guess, is just my thoughts. But maybe, I guess, if they're just starting to lose profit because they're making people work 80 hours and people are getting sick or whatever, then they would have done something else. But fortunately, we had Henry Ford to keep us from going down that path. Is 40 hours, is that where we should be, Rachel? I don't know. What do you think? What did you find?
Okay, so is 40 hours just right? Is that what you're asking me? Should we be working
too much, too little? What is
the consensus is unclear.
Gotcha.
So from what I kind of dug up, I kind of found that the 40-hour work week is more rooted to the industrial side of things. Like places around here would be like Polaris and Snap-on and whatever, you know. It may work good for them for pumping out their product efficiently and on time, but is it good enough for like office workers? That's a question that kind of popped up a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point because different industries probably have different needs.
Right. And today we have the technology to work from home, like a lot of us are now. And I think we kind of find ourselves checking our emails off hours, off the clock, if you will, and you're working when you don't need to, basically. Yeah. And what I found was people work an extra 7 hours a week outside of the office, and that's just checking your email or just following up on something real quick or, you know, little things here and there, which I 100% believe. I don't like having my work email on my phone because I know that I would do that.
Yeah. I've personally, I have access to my work email on my phone, but I don't have it like hooked up. I have to go sign into like a website. I know there's an app I could download, but I don't want to have like notifications from, I don't want to know basically. I just, if I have to, I can get to it, but I don't want to have it telling me that there's new emails or whatever.
So you and I are like the same in that, whereas Jesse, he will check his email whenever he can. Literally last night doing this research, he was working. So it just kind of shows that. So it says 80% of people continue to work even after they left work for the day, and 50% of people check their email while they're still laying in bed in the morning before they go to work.
Now, do you think there's a difference when it comes to like hourly paid workers versus salaried workers and the expectations there of?
Yeah, I think so. Because I know when I was salaried at my old job, I felt obligated to do work in the evening. I felt obligated and encouraged to bring my computer home every single day.
Yeah.
I didn't like to do that. So I kind of avoid doing that as much as I could. So yeah, I don't think it's really fair. I'm giving you 40 hours already a week.
Mm-hmm.
Anything more than that, I think it's kind of the company trying to steal more of your time. They think you're not worth as much as what you're getting paid for, maybe.
Like, yeah, okay. I can see what you're saying. They're paying you this, but they feel like they need to squeeze a little bit more out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like my salary equals, like, let's say 56 hours a week rather than 40.
Yeah, so you're actually getting paid like how much an hour, like $9 mm-hmm. an hour, you know, it's not adding up to what you think you enter into when you take the job.
Right. So I did find out that 59% of the US workforce is paid hourly. 70% of those people are under 30. So I would say it's mostly millennials and then, you know, teens, after school jobs, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then 16% of hourly workers are, you know, middle-aged up. And then also I would like to point out that in like the 1940s, when people were working 40 hours a week, they were only getting one income. You know, the wives stayed at home and were homemakers and caretakers. So
yeah,
they had to make enough money to care for an entire family.
Whereas, that is a good point.
Yeah. Now most people, you know, it's like a dual income.
Yeah. So I saw a statistic that was basically the average number of hours worked for like male and female, and then married male and married female.
Oh.
And when both partners were married, essentially married men and married women worked more than single men or single women. And I thought that was interesting because, I mean, you would think you'd need to work less if you're pulling in two incomes. I mean, mm-hmm. so sure, I guess you might have children and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're working more once you get married, essentially, hours wise.
I could see that. Like, I guess how it goes is like you get married, you buy a house, you have mm-hmm. kids. So I can see how like your obligations, you know, get pricier. Mm-hmm. So that's why you would want to work more. But I think it is crazy that the 40-hour work week was a perfect, perfect amount for a one-income household in the 40s. Yeah,
that is crazy. One thing that I kind of, and I feel this way as well about past jobs that I've had, but when you're working 40 hours, it's usually you're not just committing 40 hours to your job. Mm-hmm. Many people have a commute, whether it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes each way, that is time out of your day that you're dedicating to your job, essentially. This person that was kind of bringing up these points said they worked 9 to 6, but I've had jobs where I worked 8 to 5, and you're required to take that hour lunch in the middle of the day, which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to have a mental break, but at the same time, it's another hour that you are dedicating out of your day to your job, essentially, mm-hmm. and then you're driving home at night. So instead of working 8 hours a day, you may be working in away from home for 10 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
but you're only getting paid for 8 hours of your day. So mm-hmm. it's not just the time that you're presently at work. It's like everything rolled into it. And at the end of all that, how much time do you really get for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's so fair.
Yeah. I guess I just had some points about like why do we stick with this 40 hours, even though sometimes other people might be trying different things. Essentially, I think it boils down to the American dream.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The American dream is essentially you get a job, supposedly doing something that you enjoy, but basically a job that you have. You keep that career for 20 years, you work 40 hours a week, you go up through the ranks, you work more, you accumulate a ton of crap, you mm-hmm. work until you die or retire. And if you don't do this, people think you're lazy.
That is so, so true.
Yeah. It's like we don't value anything except like your title and your job and what kind of crap you can buy. Like that is the American dream, essentially.
Even getting a vacation or having vacation time tied into your job, I feel like is nearly impossible. Like to accrue so much PTO or even to find a job that's like, yeah, you get 5 vacation days a year. I've never had a job like that.
Yeah. And another thing that is kind of wrapped into this American dream ideal is that everybody always wants more, and that includes businesses. So it's like a business could be successful. They could be doing great. Everybody's making money. The owner's living very comfortably, but yet they don't want to stop there. They feel like they can't stop there. You always have to be growing. It's like stagnation to like be successful and but not keep growing is like death to a business. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why do we need to have exponential growth constantly in a job? Why can't it be good enough to make enough money to live comfortably, to pay your employees so they can live comfortably and not have to push to like become the next Google? I mean, not everybody's going to do that. So it's just kind of like that mentality of like pushing your employees so that we get that revenue growth goal and like all that stuff that I think really kind of keeps us down, I guess, as far as enjoying life goes.
Yeah. And
I hate to say, but I feel like part of that is the fact that we do follow like a capitalist model here rather than more laws involving work. We kind of trust that the businesses will do what's best.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. When you were saying the whole goal thing though, that made me think of a certain company that they always are encouraging their staff to hit certain goals. Mm-hmm. But that, I feel like that's giving added pressure to its employees. Yeah, it's great to grow, but do you need to grow so rapidly, so quickly, so quickly, and then add that stress to your employees and then make them feel bad if they don't get that goal?
Yeah. Why? I mean, we're already successful. The job, you know, whatever company can already be successful, but it's never enough. There's that mentality of like, more is always better.
Yeah. So.
And then another reason is that it's profitable to keep people at work, I guess you could say. Not because necessarily that we're so productive throughout the day, but when we're at work and we have less free time, we are more purchase happy. So for example, you get home from work, you don't want to make dinner, you buy dinner. You don't want to like, I mean, we're way past the point where you're like growing your own food or making your own clothes. Like we're paying for convenience, gratification, anything to make us feel like better at the end of the day and have a little fun. We're spending a lot more money when you have less free time, I think.
That is so true. That is that is mind-blowingly true. I mean, like, think of everything that's advertised to you, like boxes, like,
FabFitFun.
You can get everything sent to your door. Why even bother going out to the store and getting that?
Yeah, I talk about BoxyCharm, like, on here. And to be honest, I probably wouldn't go to the store and buy that stuff, but sure, I'll do a monthly subscription to have you ship it to me.
Yeah, and then it's like that instant gratification. It makes you feel good in the moment when you're getting new things. Because your life kind of sucks every other day, but when you get that box, it's pretty good that day.
Heck yes. So yeah, it essentially keeps us like placated, but not motivated or able to think about, I guess, I don't want to say like revolting, but like, you know, doing something that would enact change to our lifestyle.
So. And I think it's hard to say that the 40 hours a week won't go away, but I think that, okay, I would love it if it did, but I'm thinking for companies to go away from it would be a lot, first off, and then employees, if they'd get their pay reduction, like if they would have to take a pay reduction or like getting their overtime taken away from them, like a lot of people rely on that extra money.
Or benefits.
I mean, people, I know people like to work. My mom she works at Snap-on, so I know she, I don't know, she likes getting overtime every once in a while, because once she does, that means that they can do something.
Oh, yeah.
Update their house or do whatever. Like, I know that's what they like to do. So
shall we take a quick break and come back and talk about maybe some of the options that we might have?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Some weird news from around the world, just to lighten things up a little bit with all this work talk. Boo, mm-hmm. Work.
Boo.
All right, so first headline. Swedish city dumps chicken poop on park to deter holiday celebrations. So evidently, the city of Lund, Sweden, has dumped more than a ton of chicken poop on the park to keep people from going out there and celebrating Walpurgis Night. I don't know what Walpurgis Night is. It's evidently has like pagan roots, Viking roots. I don't know.
Okay.
But Gustav Lundblad, the chairman of the Council of Environmental Committee, says that they get the opportunity to fertilize the lawns, and at the same time, it will stink, so it may not be nice to sit and drink a beer in the park and encourage social distancing.
I like it. That's a good idea.
The next one I saw was surfers are riding bioluminescent waves off the California coast.
Ooh.
So, evidently right now there is an algae bloom going on. So basically after dark you can go out there and ride waves that are glowing neon blue.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so there are some pretty awesome pictures of like surfer dudes out there on these neon blue waves. And then there was also some dolphins like swimming through the waves. It was
so cool. That makes me think of Life of Pi. Have you seen that movie?
I have. It's been a while though. But oh, I think so. But that's out by San Diego. So I guess Google that. Oh. See some cool pictures.
Awesome.
Man takes 43 wet sponge hits to the face for Guinness record.
Why?
I don't know. Idaho man David Rush had his friend throw, I guess there's a record, they beat the previous record of 36 sponges, so this is a thing people do evidently, but essentially you get 30 seconds to have somebody throw as many wet sponges at your face as they can, and however many hit your face is your record. So he did 43. This guy though, David, he has broken more than 100 records to promote STEM education. So that's like science, technology, engineering, and math, I think is what STEM stands for.
Okay.
Technical education. He says that they did practice safe social distancing, and there is no evidence that COVID-19 has been spread by a thrown wet sponge. So they added that at the end of the article. I was like, okay.
Oh, I said David. Yeah. He's doing weird stuff. Those I guess Davids. So.
This one, last one was hilarious. We can all relate, working from home. So a reporter was caught not wearing pants during live broadcast.
Oh, this one.
So it's a Will Reeve, who is the son of Christopher Reeve, who he played Superman and then he had an accident and was paralyzed and he has passed. But anyway, he is an ABC News reporter, and he was on Good Morning America, so it's not like a small local news, it's like nationwide, to talk about pharmacies using drones to deliver prescriptions and stuff. And you know how they always have like the words at the bottom of the screen, like news tickers and stuff? Well, evidently at the end of the broadcast that like went away, and he had no pants on.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, and he tried to like cover it up and say that he was wearing just some very short workout shorts because he planned on doing a workout afterwards. I don't know if I'm buying it.
I don't buy it for a second. He definitely was just wearing his underpants. But you know, that's okay. There are just some days that you do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his full suit on. The top half, I mean, can you ask for much more when you're working at home?
Nope. I would not expect any less than that.
I don't think I put on anything but leggings for the past, like, month.
I literally wake up and just work in my pajamas.
Yep. That's how we do it.
If I do go outside, though, I'll put on leggings. However, a couple days ago, I had to drive up and go to the office to pick some files up, and I looked like a wreck. I had my hair was in like a four-day bun. I was wearing some weird long basketball shorts meant for a guy. I was wearing Jesse's sandals that were too big for me, and I had socks on. And boy, I just look like a wreck.
Yeah, I know. I have like these leopard print leggings that are like, they can be kind of cute with the right top, but I just like had thrown on like a tie-dye sweatshirt. And like I was with my mom and she's like wanted to pick something up at the store. And so we put on my like bright red Pokemon face mask. And so I was really rocking like 5 different patterns at the same time that day. But you know, who cares?
There are no rules, during this time. No fashion rules. No one can say anything about how anyone looks right now. Because no one looks good.
And nobody. All right. Well, that was weird news. Hopefully it brought a little sunshine to your day.
Yeah.
And we'll continue on with our topic. We want to just talk about if 40 hours is too much for the general American worker, or even across the world, just in general. Is 40 hours too much?
Yeah. So from what I kind of found, before Ford, all over the world, other manufacturers were testing and discovering how shorter hours led to increased productivity. They also did some research on people who are working more than 40 hours, and they found that people who like to work overtime or tend to be less healthy. They're more likely to gain weight, fall. They get injured on the job, they get sick, people are less alert, they're more likely to make mistakes after that 8th hour of work, and they're less productive.
Yes, I saw that the CDC actually did a study, or they published a report essentially that covered a bunch of studies in 2004. So, they've been looking at this for a long time, and it basically conclusively said that once you hit that 8 hours a day, 5 day a week threshold, the focus goes down and injuries go up. Your mind really can only take like a finite time of focus. Mm-hmm. So
I will say personally, I lose focus about 3 o'clock. I hit a wall. I have no interest in doing what I've been doing. I need to get up and walk around a bit. I want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I just lose all focus.
Exactly. I saw a couple studies just kind of talking about how long we actually can focus. In one of the most efficient most productive patterns that people use to focus was essentially the 1 hour followed by 15 minutes of break. So people could maintain focus for about an hour, and like for that hour, really drill in on the topic, whatever they were doing, like not take Facebook breaks or whatever. But then once they hit that hour, it was basically like a wall. Mm-hmm. And so taking a break of 15 minutes for every hour worked actually helped them be a lot more productive, because then they weren't facing mentally that long stretch. Like I know when I sit down at a desk at 8 a.m. and I know that I'm probably not going to get up for 4 hours, mm-hmm. it's like I'm getting distracted by everything, because mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to be able to focus that long. So it's like somebody says something 4 rows over and I'm like, Game of Thrones, what, you know? So it's like you just get distracted. But if you know that you have an hour to do something and then you're going to take a short break, then you're much more likely to actually sit down and focus. Mm-hmm. There was also a guy who wrote a book. His name was Alex Pang. And he really believes that we have about 4 hours of hard, dedicated focus in us a day. Now, he's talking a lot about like creative and innovative thinkers. So maybe it's different if you're doing like factory work. But essentially, he says some of the most prolific and smartest thinkers of our time spend only 4 hours a day on serious work. For example, Charles Darwin. He would do two 90-minute sessions in the morning, like with breaks in between, and then an hour in the afternoon. And then that was his work for the day. Henri Poincaré, he's like a very famous mathematician that figured out a lot of stuff. He would do like from 10 a.m. to noon, take a break, and then do 5 to 7 p.m. And that was his 4 hours. Mm-hmm. A lot of other people, Thomas Jefferson, Alice Munro is a really prolific author. They basically find that they hit a threshold at 4 hours, and after that, they don't do as well with their work. And they said that even our ancestors, the hunter-gatherers, did about 4 hours of work a day. So that's kind of what we're programmed to do. That's kind of what we evolved doing. So it makes sense that that's what our brains can handle. And then a Harvard Business Review kind of just echoed the same thing, saying like athletes, novelists, musicians, people that are experts in their fields typically only do 4 to 5 hours a day, usually in the morning of their strenuous, like really thought engaging work. And then they're pretty much done for the day because that's all you can really handle.
I would so agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know that we're going to ever change from a 40-hour week to a 20-hour week, but it really kind of is like doing double that every single day is probably not super productive. How much time a day, and I'm not just saying like you because and we don't want to get in trouble, but like the average American office worker, how much time do you think they actually are productive during an 8-hour workday?
Oh my gosh, I think we've had this conversation before.
Do you remember?
I would say, depending on the job, I think I would say probably 4 hours is what I would give like undivided attention focus to.
Yeah. The study says 3 hours of productivity for every 8-hour day. So
what's the point of having that many longer?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, businesses are getting like shafted and paying for 5 extra hours of work we don't do. Yeah. But just saying.
Okay. So I will say at the job that we shared, I was so distracted when I was there. I got up to go to the bathroom unnecessarily a lot, go fill up a water bottle. Like you said, I would hear someone talking from far away and I would be like, hey, you over there, I hear you're talking about The Bachelor. Let's go talk about it.
Yeah.
Or like just over the wall, I would just talk.
Yeah. Well, me too. Yeah.
So, I mean, at that job, clearly I didn't care or give enough of my attention to it. But I know at my job after that, everything kind of was on me, I guess, for things to get done because there were so few employees. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot more riding on me personally that I had to give a lot more of my attention, which wore me down.
Yikes.
I mean, like, you knew I was super unhappy there. Like, I quit after like 9 months of work because I was just, I mean, there were other factors in it, but it just wore me down so much.
Yeah. And that burnout, I think, is a risk that jobs take when they're expecting more out of you. So what do we do? Like, what, I mean, it's tough to say that we can just cut work hours in half. I mean, there's a lot of factors, like we said, like paying people less. I mean, that's not going to work. We have to make enough money to survive. Mm-hmm. But what can we do to increase productivity, but decrease the need to be at work?
So here are some suggestions. Okay. I came across some of these. Would you be more productive during the week if you knew that you could leave at lunch on a Friday? Like you're done for work after lunch?
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like working 4 days a week for 10 hours, which you do? Do you enjoy that better than the 8 hours for 5 days?
I question if I'll ever be able to go back to working a regular schedule again. Okay. Because, yeah, it's, I saw that worldwide, the countries that are having the most hours, people working the most hours, are some of the countries that are the least productive. The most productive country that I saw on my list anyway was Luxembourg. Which, by the way, have some ancestors that came from Luxembourg.
You are the next country. You are the next generation, Molly.
Look, I feel bad about saying that in the last episode. I want everybody to know that it is a joke. Like, I don't actually think that about myself. And I
believe that you are.
So I'm studying anthropology, obviously, and I was reading about teeth today, like in early human ancestors, and they talked about like this, the first premolar, so like the tooth right behind your like canine tooth, and how in early cavemen, before cavemen, like ape men, the like cusps, which are like the pointy parts of the molar, like the outside is larger than the inside, and I was like, feeling my tooth. I know, and I was like, shit, mine is like super uneven. I have like caveman teeth. I guess I'm not the next evolution. Yeah.
I guess I have.
I do that all the time when I'm like reading my book and they say something about teeth. I'm like, okay. I have the right amount of teeth for a human?
That's fine. Well, you know, I never got my wisdom teeth either.
Really?
But my orthodontist said it's because my mouth was too small. So I don't know if
it's probably the same thing. I mean, my brother didn't either, so I think it's probably just, like, some type of genetic mutation.
Or you and your brother are just the next
generation. That's true. We are siblings. You can join us, Rachel. You can be part of the less wisdom tooth generation, too.
Hey, yeah, I can contribute to that much. Maybe my kid won't get wisdom teeth.
There you go. It's cheaper than having to pull wisdom teeth out.
So true.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. So there's some options that some businesses are trying out. And one of them is basically flex time. So instead of having a set time, everybody kind of gets to choose their own time. You can design your own work schedule, do some telecommuting. And in general, people seem to really enjoy this approach.
Yeah.
Does Jesse do that kind of thing at all, or is he kind of set schedule?
He is typically set, but since we're working from home, like yesterday, he got some work done in the morning, and then I had to do some work, and then that's why he was working at night when I was doing research. But I think he would have done that regardless, because he's the only one in his department, I guess you could say. He's the only one. So that responsibility only lies on him, and he has deadlines. So that's kind of the thing with that, is like, if a lot rides on you, of course you need to put in the time to get things done.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But I mean, you know the risk going into it. If you know that you don't like to work that much, then maybe that's not the job for you.
That's me in a nutshell right there. But anyway, the statistics that I saw said that 57% of employers allow some kind of flexible scheduling, and 62% allow some kind of telecommuting. All I can say about that is, where are these jobs? Because I've never been offered any kind of job that offered either one of those until we had a pandemic. So yeah, I find it hard to believe, but I guess maybe you have to climb the ladder a bit before you get these options. I don't know, but
yeah,
I'm not seeing that. People do say it gives you a better work-life balance. I mean, you can dip out for a doctor's appointment. Maybe you can pick up your kids from school and take them home and then come back to work, or go to your fitness classes. I don't know, but I know, right? Some of the cons, I guess, of doing that though could be like scheduling conflicts. Obviously you can't have one person working hours that never mesh up with another person if they have to collaborate. So you may need to have like set like soft boundaries, I guess you could say, on what you can do. And managing that kind of thing is trickier. And I've kind of found that even in my job, I'm like a team lead of my team, and it is harder to schedule like the meetings that we're supposed to have, or like connect with somebody regularly. But we do okay. I don't think it suffered that much. It just takes a little bit more foresight.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one that I am doing, like we said earlier, is the compressed work week, is what they called it in this article. But it's basically 4 10-hour days, and it is growing in popularity. Now, I will say I have an office job, so I'm not like standing or doing physical labor. I think that would definitely affect my opinion on this if I was like on my feet for 10 hours, because that could get tiring or doing something exhausting. But right. I'm sitting on my butt for 10 hours, so it's not quite as strenuous. But you get 3-day weekends. Who doesn't want a 3-day weekend every week? I do. And you also get off a day during the week. Like, I know that one thing that totally drained my paid time off bank when I was working like 8 to 5 Monday through Friday was wanting to go to an eye appointment, needing to go to get my hair done. Like anything, you have to use your PTO to go do those things. Now I can take that day that I don't work during the week and go do that, and I don't have to use my PTO. So it's pretty convenient.
Yeah. I remember, so like when I moved to this area and started at that job that you and I shared, that was my first like big kid job, I guess you could say. Every other job I've had before that, I've worked 4 days a week or whatever. So like that was kind of a wake up call a little bit. I remember really, really stressing out my first day, being like, I have to come home and let my dog out. I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't come home during the day and let my dog out.
Yeah.
And like, it drove me crazy so much that I got like a pet cam so I could like make sure she was okay during the day. Like, it's so stupid, right? But
that is one of the concerns people have. And even with working like a 10-hour day, I mean, that's even more of a concern, because if you're doing, for example, like 8 to 6, like you're going to miss out on preparing supper for your kids or letting your pet out or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a trade-off. I do not have children, so for me, it works out pretty well. But if you did, you know, maybe it wouldn't be so great. Or like you said, if you had a physically demanding job, I can't imagine. I know some nurses and stuff that work 16-hour like doubles. And I just am like, I don't know. I don't think I could do that on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the time being, I really enjoy that schedule just because I feel like you need more time off than just 2 days a week in a row, because that first day that you get off, you're kind of like coming off of work. And then the next day you're like ramping back up for work. I feel like you need like another day to like actually settle and relax.
And I so agree that you need a day off in like during the week, no matter what, because like you said, there it's like impossible to get anything done over a lunch break if your lunch break is an hour.
Yeah.
People have doctor appointments. People have things they have to do. You know what I mean? It's,
or if you have kids, like I know of people who had a lot of like kids appointments that they'd have to basically spend all their PTO for and then have nothing for like an actual vacation.
Right.
So that's a bummer, but the last option, I guess, that was kind of proposed is the same kind of compressed work week, but not compressed. So just 32 hours, cut off one of the days basically. But, and this is important, essentially consider that full time and make the same amount of money as you would if you were working the 40-hour week.
Yeah.
The best of both worlds. Got a little bit of Hannah Montana going on there.
Oh, yeah.
people have found that this has increased productivity and more focused work because people know they're heading home on Thursday or whatever. I can tell you that I am less likely to call in sick or to call off on a day when I know I only have to make it through like 2 more days.
That's fair.
So. Yeah. The only bad thing is I can see some industries not being able to do this just because of the hours. Restaurants couldn't do this. Customer service-based things are pretty much expected to be open like during business hours, Monday through Friday. So it would be tough to just cut off one of those days, especially if your competitors are still open 5 days a week.
Okay, so is 40 hours too much? is the question I would like to pose. Well, I will say there's been many studies that would suggest that 40 hours is not, or I'm sorry, it is too much. It is too much. I would agree 40 hours is too much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in 1974, the UK limited the work week to 3 days to attempt to save energy, with losing 2 days production, production only dropped 6%.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it was a lot, but not really, I guess you could say.
I mean, they're reducing it by like 40%, so to only have a 6% drop is kind of a big deal, I would say.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe that's a bad example.
No, I mean, it's like a good, like it shows that it doesn't affect it that much.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. From 2000 to 2008, so 8 years, the French government limited max hours a week to 35. More than half French employees said that they were happier and more able to balance work and life. In 2015 to 2017, a Swedish nursing home did a 2-year experiment where nurses switched from an 8-hour day to a 6-hour day. However, they got to keep their same pay. They did learn that the sick leave dropped 10%. And nurses, apart from the trial, said that they were healthier, more energetic, and more alert.
I saw one from a New Zealand estate management firm called Perpetual Guardian. They started 4-day weeks, and what they found was that they had a 24% increase in home-work balance. The staff was more creative, they were more energized, attendance was better, employees were punctual, people weren't taking breaks, and the human resources director said that their actual job performance didn't change. Like, they were still the same amount of productivity over 4 days than when they were working 5. So, crazy.
Come on, people. In 2016, Amazon had a program where a few dozen employees worked 30 hours a week. In return, they'll receive 75% of their daily salary and maintain their full benefits. The idea was to see if 30 hours will make employees productive. There was no study result.
But it happened.
But it did happen. So, I mean, at least Amazon is trying something, yeah, you know?
For sure. I mean, I think in general, people kind of see that when you know you have kind of a time crunch, maybe, or you know this is the amount of time you have, you're just more productive and you're more focused,
mm-hmm,
and happier. I can tell you right now, because I'm working from home and doing the 4-day work a week thing, I'm like so much more balanced in my work versus life,
mm-hmm,
type of feeling than I ever have been like before. And it's just crazy because I don't know, I felt like before work was basically ruling my life, even though I didn't really work. I mean, sometimes I did work over 40 hours, but I didn't have to. It still was like the idea that I had to go into work and sit there for that long and blah, 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 just like didn't let me enjoy life as much. And now that I'm at home, it's just a totally different mental outlook. Like, I go in, I don't mind sitting there. I can get my snacks and have my water and whatever, you know, anytime I want. My dog sits beside me and I just am so much more happier. And I'm like, definitely not going to call in sick. Like, what problem? Like, why would I? I mean, unless, right, I'm actually sick, mm-hmm, but like play hooky, I guess. Like, I don't feel the urge to do that kind of thing just because it's like, I might as well just wait. Yeah. It's,
yeah, you're content already.
Yeah. So I think that there is something definitely to this. Now, here's a question.
Okay.
This is a quiz, pop quiz.
Okay.
So South Africa requires their workers to take at least 21 consecutive days of paid annual leave and 1 day off for every 17 worked. Afghanistan requires 20 paid days off per year for their workers. Austria requires 25 days off. Algeria is 30. These countries, a lot of them, Austria is obviously European, but Afghanistan is like totalitarian government. Like, how many days of paid leave are required for USA workers? Go.
I'll say zero.
Ding, ding, ding. That would be correct. We have no requirement for people to get unpaid leave or paid leave. Sorry. No paid leave.
Dumb. What? And
yeah, it's crazy. And there was a map that mapped out basically what all the countries had, and a handful, very small amount out of what, there's like 200 countries in the world, did not have a mandated amount of paid time off. And USA is one of them. Every single industrialized, like, European nation and everything like that generally has about 20 to 25 paid days off that you can take. Mm-hmm. African countries, like countries in Africa that we probably consider to be like third world countries, are usually around 20 days off that they get paid.
That leaves me speechless. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that. That is crazy.
It is crazy.
And unfair.
And I know I talked to, when Will and I went on our honeymoon, I connected with a friend that had been a foreign exchange student in my high school from the Netherlands. And we were just talking, and I was kind of talking about how I had worked like insane amount of hours to save up my paid time off for my mm-hmm. job to be able to go on a 2-week honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? We just get 4 to 5 weeks of vacation that we have to use every year paid.
Yeah. And you have to use it.
Yeah. Like they want you to use it. Mm-hmm. They encourage you to use it.
Yeah.
And she works full time, like as a nurse, and it's a 32-hour work. And she's getting 4 to 5 weeks a year paid vacation.
Yeah.
And works 32 hours a week.
Oh my God. Why am I here? Why am I in America?
I know. I'm like, we should probably move to like the Netherlands or Denmark or any of those countries that are like the happiest places in the world.
Truly. It makes you question, like, why are we doing this? Like oh my goodness.
And yes, a lot of us do have access to paid vacation. Mm-hmm. 74% of full-time workers in America have access to paid vacation, but it should be everyone. Mm-hmm. The average is about 10 days a year when you do have access to paid vacation. Usually you have to earn that. And then mm-hmm. it kind of goes up, like programs after 5 years, you get more. After 20 years, you get more, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the society we live in, only half of the American workers actually use up their PTO and take mm-hmm. advantage of the vacations.
I don't know who those people are, because can't relate. Like, yeah. I need time. And if I don't get that time, I am taking it unpaid. Like, I don't even care. I need time.
I'll get depressed if I just have like monotony all day, no time off. I'll sink into a deep depression.
For sure. Yeah.
Did you have some correlation between, like, what were the happiest countries in the world?
The happiest country that I found is Belgium.
Belgium.
Huh. And that's European countries, not the world, but European, Belgium. And they only work 1,011 hours per year. I don't know what that calculates out to be.
Yeah, I saw that the United States works 1,786, so 1,786.
Oh, that's even more than what I found.
Oh, really?
But I found 1,353, so not too far off, but yeah. So Belgium works 20-ish hours a week.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they're factoring in, like, when they have 5 weeks off, not working.
Oh, yep. This includes vacation time.
Yeah.
My list does. So
it's crazy.
It is crazy. And then I found that Italy only works 960 hours per year.
Whoa.
And they were on the list of happiest in European countries, but it wasn't in the top 10, so I didn't put it on there. But they're in top 20, at least.
More work. I mean, I know there's people who love their jobs, and I guess I'm glad that they have found their calling. I may or may not have found my, you know, I hesitate to say things like this because I'm always like, who's listening?
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't found my calling. I haven't found that job that I'm like in love with. So until then, I guess I do begrudge most of the time that I spend at work.
I would agree. I will say though, so like being quarantined, I have all my stuff at home. Jesse and I take turns. So like 1 week I'll work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The next week I'll work Tuesday, Thursday. And depending on the week, I guess, I kind of range between like 25 hours a week to like 30-ish hours a week. And I feel pretty content right now. I don't mind doing what I do. I don't find that I complain about it. I don't know. I get frequent enough breaks from it. Like, if Jesse is watching our son downstairs, like I can focus up here for a little bit, but they'll come up and visit me for like 10 minutes and then they'll go back and play. And like, that's a nice like mind break, I guess.
Yeah.
And I will say it's like making me appreciate my family a little bit more. And like, I feel like I'm paying more attention to what's going on in Graham's head or like his development.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of what they mean when they say work and life balance. Like you have to be able to take time to have those moments with your family or just even like indulge in a hobby or something that brings you joy.
Yeah.
And I do think that it has gotten a lot better for me since I do work the 4 days. I have found myself much more happy and I get to do more things like I get to do gardening or whatever. I don't feel like I don't have that time. So it has been good, but yeah, I mean, I think the optimal time could be less than 40 hours in conclusion.
I would agree. I would even say as far as like 35 hours being too much still.
Yeah. I would say 30, 32, you know, like right around that 30 mark is probably a pretty sweet spot. As long as you can get your work done, honestly.
Yeah. I agree. I think things need to change around here.
Yes.
Here being the United States.
Yes. Yes. So what do you guys, as our listeners, have you found a job that fits well with your schedule, flexibility? Do you work more than 40 hours a week? I know I have friends that they work 50, 60 hours a week, but they love their job and that's okay with them. I mean, it really depends. Like what have you guys found works for you out there?
Yeah. Or do you have a unique schedule that you think would work for people?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
And how is working from home going?
Yeah. Is everyone else loving it, hating it, wanting to go back? That'd be interesting to hear too. Yeah. I personally like it. I like knowing that I can just wake up and I don't need to.
Yes.
Get dressed or put on makeup or.
I love that too. I love being able to like, cause I start my day at 3 PM, which is kind of different, I guess. But before like starting at like 1:15, I would start the whole like mentally preparing to go to work, to find something to wear, whatever. And now I just like, it's 2:50 and I'm like, I better walk into the other room and turn on my computer. It's like, it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
But yeah, other than that, please do check us out on social media.
Yes.
Give us ideas for topics and listen to us and spread the word.
And watch out for any bonus episodes too.
Yes, there may be a bonus episode coming very soon.